Well, thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday, June the 10th. Oh, my God, the time is going by so fast. So much stuff is going on. We know if you have not heard about all the stuff going on, you have definitely been in, I don't know, under a rock somewhere where there's no news or nothing. I don't know how you can miss it. It's absolutely so much going on around the world, in our nation. But guess what? No matter what it is, if it's a pandemic, if it's a riot, if it's protesting, God is still in control. No matter what is going on, God is still faithful, and he is just, and God is a faithful God that wants justice for us all. We are to live liberated one and for all, okay? So I just wanted to make that clear. We have a wonderful show today. We will be talking about COVID-19. We have a wonderful doctor that's going to be joining us. We have also another PhD. He's a PhD. He's going to be talking about with me an experience that we had, Elizabeth Brooks. We have Gina G. They're all going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about so many things that's going on right now. And just, we need to cover this. We need to express this. And I have actually an experience that we're going to be talking about, Kevin and I, Dr. Kevin, and we're going to be talking about that today. So we have our own experience. He has more that he probably will share, but we both had an experience together in 2015 or 14. And we're going to be talking about that. Dr. Cree Trimble Johnson, she's going to be talking to us about what we in our culture, Black people in our culture, what we should know and do concerning the pandemic and how to stay safe. So I'm looking forward to hearing from her. And of course, we got the Trending Tea with Gina G, and we have Fitness with Elizabeth Brooks. So let's just go ahead and take our sponsorship break real quick, and then I'll come back with a ministerial moment. We'll be right back after this message. You know Zion as a physical place of Israel, but did you know that it's also a spiritual reality in you? Bestseller author John Eckhart has strategies for you to embrace your identity as Zion, or the place where God dwells. In his book, I Am Zion, Eckhart invites you to apply the characteristics and blessings in Isaiah 60. Learn how to reach a level of faith that releases blessings, healing, deliverance, promotion, and increase. If you don't understand the benefits that are available to you, you won't seek after them. Harness the reality that you are the dwelling place of God and experience the amazing blessings that are waiting for you. Check out I Am Zion by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. Yes, I want to go ahead and go into ministerial moment, and I want to talk to the church, actually. We're in a situation now that we have to step up. I know, you know, a lot of emotions are going on and we're feeling a lot of feelings. And the only reason why that is because we have not committed our flesh to the movement of the Holy Spirit. No matter what is going on, no matter what opposition takes place, we as the church, the body of Christ, as we are becoming one with the Lord, we should move by his spirit. I think about Jesus, how he walked the earth. He had opposition with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doubters. I mean, even unto his very death, when he took on and bore all of our sins and was beat and torn to shreds and, you know, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, mocked, fed on, carrying that cross, blood dripping throughout every area on that ground. His blood was dripping, you know, to the point where he was pierced on his side, on the cross, nailed to the cross, hands and feet. I just, if we're affected by what this world system is doing, if we are surprised by this, then we have not literally given our whole complete self. Yes, we're human. Yes, righteous, judgment, and we're supposed to judge the spirit by the spirit, and yes, we're supposed to fight up against the adversary and the spirit. I mean, the scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but by the spirit, divination, witchcraft, things like that. And so I'm concerned that this is yet another distraction for our flesh to go and detour away from the things of the kingdom again. And again, and again, and then we still operate in no power. I want us to really, really seek after the Lord and go after the things of the kingdom so the Holy Spirit can lead us by His Spirit. We can only gain success by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can only gain success by being obedient to God. What is God saying for us to do? Not what our flesh, we are angry, we're frustrated. That is all true. We get that, but we have to submit even all of that to the Father. We have to lay it down. I mean, because I think about Jesus. I mean, he died. He wrestled with this in Gethsemane and he prayed and he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will." And I have to think that, you know, even in certain situations, you know, God still gets the glory. I think about even with George Floyd's death, how much awareness now has taken place all over the world, you know, just even if it's just to get the awareness and just the people to be convicted, you know, his death was not in vain. The labor was not in vain. The things that are happening now is not in vain. But for us to just really gain complete victory, we have to submit our emotions and our mental intellect to the kingdom, to God. We have to allow us ourselves to take death to our flesh, that we can reunite and become one with Christ, and that we will move by the Spirit. Jesus said he didn't do anything unless the Father told him to. You know, so I know that things may seem like it's right and things feel good and it seems like it makes sense, but what is God commissioning us to do? What is Holy Spirit leading us to do? Are we quenching the Holy Spirit? Are we ignoring him because, you know, our feelings, you know, are in it and we're mad and we're upset and we want justice done and all of these things, and all of this stuff makes sense. I get it, but we can still take all of that to the Father. We cannot do anything without him. We cannot move mountains. We cannot cast anything in the sea. We cannot declare and affirm successfully anything unless it is led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot bind and loose unless it is led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot heal. We cannot do miracles. We cannot operate in signs and wonders unless it is led by the Holy Spirit. We have to submit to who is an authority, and we have to trust and believe that justice will be served. I know in the book of Isaiah, it talks about justice, and we need to, I think it's Isaiah 42, and I posted that on my Facebook page. And I want you to be encouraged that God knows exactly what is going on. And I talked about this last week, on air. It is, the book of Isaiah 42. And it is so imperative that God wants and will give us justice. He is a liberator. He liberates those that are oppressed and suppressed. We have to trust that the blood of Jesus still works. We have to believe that. So I just wanted to encourage you about that. And that's my ministerial moment. I want you to just seek God in every way about everything, from your frustration, your anger, you know, to, you know, what steps you're going to take, your voting, your protesting, all of that stuff. Seek God, be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we live and move and have our being by the Spirit of God. Okay, so that's my ministerial moment, and I love you, and I just pray God's strength over us all, because this is a day and time that it is quite disturbing, and very much so that we should draw closer to the Father, the creator of all things, okay, that knows all, that is in all. And through us all, we can do great things of all kinds, because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Okay. All right, y'all, be blessed. Now we're going to go forth with the rest of the show. I'm super excited about today's show. And we're going to talk about the, what are we going to talk about now? Let's go ahead and talk about the weather. Our weather today is 84 degrees in D.C. And let's see, our weather today is going to be all the way up to 91 degrees. Okay, so guys, watch out for that. We got thunderstorms that's supposed to come around 6 p.m. So in D.C., be prepared for that. Those that are protesting, be aware of that. 82 degrees and cloudy in Detroit. Let's see, we got showers coming this afternoon. Thunderstorms all this afternoon. So be prepared for that, you guys, all the way from 5 to like 9 o'clock. Jacksonville, Florida, you're 82 degrees. You're 90 degrees high today. You got thunderstorms coming too. London, you're raining right now, 55 degrees. And your high is 57. And let's see, you're waking up to 55 degrees today. All right. And let's go on and talk about Los Angeles. Los Angeles, you're 75 degrees. Your high is going to be 93. And you're sunny all day, which is amazing. Fayetteville, North Carolina, you're 84 degrees. And you got showers coming at 4 p.m. this afternoon, so be ready. You got thunderstorms coming every day. South Australia, you're 45 degrees right now. And that's your high. You're waking up to 44, and your high tomorrow is 66. Hawaii, you're 57 degrees. And you got 70 degrees is your high. You got rain coming this afternoon yourself. Puerto Rico, 81 degrees right now. 81 is going to be your high. And you got showers coming as well. It's just showers everywhere, I think, because of that hurricane that's spewing over there by New Orleans. Be safe out there in New Orleans. Portugal, you got 61 degrees and cloudy, 57 you're waking up to tomorrow. All right, we got Gina G with the Trinity. I say, what she say? She got the Trinity. I say, what she say? She got the Trinity. Gina G for you and me. Hi, Gina G.
Oh. Not for you and me. I love when it's you and me. I love when it's for you and me. That just makes it even more better with the Trinity. Good morning.
Good morning.
So as you know, there's a lot of tree. A lot of tea. That's trending. I got tongue-tied this morning. Of course, the Black Lives Matter is, first of all, let me ask you something, because you are down in D.C., and I did check it out that you went protesting. Yeah. And I want to know, did you see the Black Lives Matter street? Did you guys go down the Black Lives Matter street?
Yeah, I took a picture.
Yeah, so that was a part of the tea that they put that sign up. So now that Donald Trump lives on, it's so funny to me. Now Donald Trump lives on Black Lives Matter Place. So it's just so funny to me, and I can't wait to come down there and see it, because that's one of the biggest part of the tea, because everybody just can't believe it. They're just like, now he has to look at that through his window, and I think it's just so hilarious.
Yeah,
but
it is
Hopefully you share a little bit of that experience on the show today, because I would love to hear it. You know, they're getting rid of a lot of the Confederate statues all over each 50 states, especially here in Virginia. We're going to be taking the statue down in Richmond, I believe, this weekend. So I'm so excited about that, you guys. It's such a big deal. People don't understand how it feels to be a Black American and have to drive by such statues from oppression. So it's like, how did that become, you know, how is that a great staple of life? So I'm so glad that this generation has finally broken a lot of barriers. So I'm so excited about that. I don't know if anybody has heard talks about them defunding the police. Which to me I have mixed feelings about that, Gene, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because I do believe that we do need police officers, and there are some great police officers. We cannot just clump, you know, all police officers are bad. So we do need police officers, but they make enough money now that they can spread that with social workers, mental health therapists, because some 911 calls don't need police officers. So a lot of times, you know, African Americans can call the police on, like I've seen, of course, you know, they have all the protesters around. The lady was just trying to protect her store from the looters, and they ended up arresting her.
Wow. Oh, like, yeah, they tried to, you know, they didn't. They ended up letting her go because a reporter came in.
Yeah, they did end up letting her go, but you have incidents where we could be the ones that actually call for help And then we're the ones that kind of end up in the jam, you know. So I think that it's smart in certain ways to bring out certain people to certain police, I mean, not police calls, but 911 calls. So I think that's going to be great. But I do know that they are not going to defund the police officers, because Joe Biden also said that he didn't want to do that as well. And, you know, he is actually winning the race right now. He's two times higher in the polls than Hillary Clinton was the same time 4 years ago. So it's looking very promising, you guys. I know they voted yesterday in Georgia. So we got to continue to vote, you guys. Vote for everything. Vote for your legislators. Don't just vote for the president. There's so many other things to vote for. There's a lot of shocking stuff online, you guys, of people with the All Lives Matter against the Black Lives Matter protests. I just want everybody just to be safe out there and to know that we're making history right now. Things are being done. So when people say that protesting doesn't work, this year or these last 14 days have proven everyone wrong. We're not speaking about the looting. We're not speaking about any of those things that happened the first 2 days. We're speaking about the peaceful protests and people that are really out to make a change. So I'm just so excited about that. Justin Bieber, who is a white artist, very popular here in the States and should be all over the world, He has also spoke out about the Black Lives Matter, speaking about how he has used, you know, Black Lives culture. He used the way they dress, the way he moves, the way he sings. So a few years ago, he had, of course, said the N-word in a song, and everyone was all over Justin Bieber. This was about 4 years ago. And so for him to come out and apologize and to want to be educated is, to me, a big step. As far as Drew Brees, if everyone knows about him, the quarterback of New Orleans, he's come out with a statement. NFL has come out with a statement. There's just been so much going on. There's so much tea that it's like, I don't even know how to run through all the tea, because the tea's been boiling for the last 14 days, and it's just so much. I mean, people are counseling people, saying, you know, if you don't say Black Lives Matter, then you must don't care about Black Lives Matter. Terry Crews, he's a comedic actor. He's been, you know, shut down for his statement about saying black supremacy. If only black people are trying to get rid of white supremacy, then it becomes black supremacy. So there's just been so much going on, you guys. It's a lot.
Go ahead.
I was going to let you know, Cops is gone. They're taking the show Cops off. You know, Cops has been around since 1989.
Okay? Oh, wow.
More than 30 years, and they are taking Cops off the television.
They don't want no more stuff to be caught on the video. That's all.
What they need to do is change.
And you know what? We should have had a camera when me and Kevin, Dr. Kevin is joining us now. Speaking of cameras, thank you, Gina, for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, because we got to tell you what happened to us in Missouri. Kevin Jackson, Dr. Kevin Jackson, he is a real estate mogul making all kind of transformation and restoration in the communities in Jacksonville. He's from that area. So we're very excited to have him. Welcome, Dr. Kevin Jackson.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you guys this morning.
Oh, my goodness. So, Kevin, listen, first of all, I want everybody to know, I explained to them earlier, 2 weeks ago or last week, about what happened with you and I. I was actually in St. Louis to do a photo shoot, and you had came to meet me there, and we were so excited. We were like, we're going to have fun. This is going to be fun. We did the photo shoot. After the photo shoot, we was going to go and look around, you know, St. Louis, and we went to the store, and then we got in the car, and then we got on the expressway, and bam, what happened?
Oh, man.
we made a wrong turn because you were driving.
Yes. Well, it actually wasn't a wrong turn. We were just going back across the bridge. It separated the states. I think it was Illinois. What is Illinois? I wasn't too familiar with the area.
It was Brownsville in Illinois, something. I don't remember. It was some little town. So it wasn't in Missouri, though? It wasn't Browns, Missouri?
Yeah. Yeah, we were going back across the bridge, and then we were, I it was for what it is, we were racially profiled because that's the only reason that they had to stop us. And the officer was pretty aggressive. You know, he came up to us. It was heated during that time, right after Michael Brown had just been killed, you know, unjustly by the police officers. And it was very heightened in tension. And, you know, the officer pulled us over, when he walked up to the car, he had his hand on his gun in his vest, and he had on full riot gear, and he was ready for no reason. So it was interesting.
Yeah, you know, and they pulled us over because they said that our lights were not on and it was dusk. Remember, it wasn't even dark outside.
Yeah.
It was dusk. It was still light. And so the guy pulled us over.
No justified call. Go ahead.
Yeah, the guy pulled us over. He got your license. Then he asked for mine, which is kind of unusual for them to ask for the license of the passenger, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So well, he asked. We can hear you.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, now you know you're on interview. I know you're a mogul and everything, but they got to wait now. They got to wait, Kevin.
I understand. No, I'm listening.
You only got 10
you,
minutes of your time for Dr. Jenna's radio chat.
Yes, I'll listen to you share your side, and then I want to, you know, also share from my perspective, you know, because I have a lot of background attached to it as well.
Yeah. So let me refresh everybody because we don't have a lot of time. They pulled us over. They asked for your license. They asked for my license, and they ran them both. They knew that you had a prior conviction. You were on probation, so he had you in the as he had me in the car. He had you by him outside or sitting in his car and asking you a bunch of questions. Then he switched you for me, and then I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the police car answering a lot of questions like, how do you know him? How well do you know him? Are you aware that he did this? Are you aware that he did that? I mean, he was pretty much snitching on you, but even though I knew all of that because you had told me already, but he was pretty much letting me know, like trying to insinuate either that you were this bad guy or that I was in on it. He wanted my reaction to see if I was part of this, you know, this ring or whatever. And anyway, after that was done, he went on, had you out of the car, had me in the car, and had the dog come and search the car, right? Remember, then the dog was searching the car.
Yeah.
And was sniffing all around it and in it. Didn't find anything, but he said because the dog reacted to a scent on the outside of the handle of the car, Gina. He said because the dog reacted to the outside of the door of the handle. Now, mind you, this is a rental car. So he called another police officer to back him up, to follow him, as he took Kevin in the car, handcuffed, in his car, and I had to drive following him in the rental car. Okay? So the rental car, now that should have told me then that he didn't really have anything because he would have had the car towed. But he didn't have the car towed because he had no justly reason to have the car towed.
Right.
Nothing in the car.
Right.
And we had nothing on us. It was nothing. And so we went to the precinct. He had Kevin locked up in on a chair, handcuffed to a chair in a room. He had us separated. So I'm sitting in the front wherever. It is a small little precinct, girl. I mean, it was so small that only one officer was at work at a time. You know what I'm saying? That's why he had to call somebody from another district. He had to call somebody from another district to come and follow, you know, to watch him do all of this, right? But the officer went on back to his district. So it was me, Kevin, and this police officer there for hours. And so anyway, I just remember going in the room, the bathroom. I had to ask permission. I said, officer, if I may approach you. I had to, God had me talk to him like that. May I approach you, officer? That's how God taught me. Cause I've been stopped by the police, but I've been able to say whatever or whatever. This was different though. I felt like this was a different situation because I was in a different place spiritually, you know, with God before I was in the world. So I was saying all kind of crazy, dumb stuff and whatever happened, God forbid it didn't. But thank God it didn't. But whatever happened, I knew that I was, you know, wrong. You know what I'm saying? But this situation, I'm living right. I'm serving the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm innocent. So I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. So
just let me go.
Yeah, so I go in the bathroom, and I'm praying, I'm binding, I'm casting out, I'm loosing, I'm praying and all that. Kevin don't even know that I'm doing all of this. So I come back, and I just feel like this peace. Anyway, I don't know what's going on with Kevin, but I know he's in that other room. All I know is I saw the police officer with the dog go outside by himself, searching that car, and I started playing against any foul play. I started praying against. I prayed that somebody would witness whatever was going on out there, some random person, you know what I'm saying? Because nobody was out there to see what he was doing. I started thinking that he could possibly plant something on us and all of that stuff, girl. And so I kept asking him, how long are we going to be in there? May I approach you? Do you know how long we're going to be here? As long as I want you here. He was really nasty. And so finally, the guy that came in to relieve him came in. And while Kevin is back there with the police officer, I'm sitting up here talking to this guy. He was of another race, too, Kevin, wasn't he? He was Latino or something. But anyway, I started talking to him, and I told him that he was like, so why are you here? I said, I don't know why I'm in here, but I'm here for a photo shoot. You know, I said, I'm an author and blah, blah, blah. You can Google me. So he Googled me and all this stuff. And what's the name of the photographer? I gave him the name of the photographer. He looked up the photographer and all this stuff. He saw all that stuff I was saying was legit. And so he told the guy, and I don't really know what their conversation was like, but I was like, I was asking him, am I going to get out of here? I asked the other guy, and he was like, if you didn't do anything wrong, because he didn't know. All he doing is backing his partner up. He trying to figure out what's happening. He just knew that God just sent him there just for me to tell him why we were there and that it was legit. You know what I'm saying? But, Kevin, go ahead. Tell him your part.
Yeah, well you basically pretty accurate and basically summed up everything, but from the perspective of an African-American woman having to deal with the challenges that we face. Me as an African-American male, with a little bit of the backdrop, I know our time is limited. You know, at the age of 19, I was unjustly sentenced to a federal prison sentence. I was not, you know, an angel at the time. I was involved in illegal activity, drug trafficking. But they tried to label me a kingpin at 19 years old and give me a life sentence. They ended up settling for 27 years, in which I ended up having to do 18 and a half. Under the Obama administration, they relaxed some of the unjust laws that were imbalanced. At the time of my sentencing, if I was of another race, I would have received probation as opposed to a 27-year sentence. And that's how unjust the balances was. Over the years of my incarceration, we had to fight in the Senate and the Congress. And it was racial disparities at that time in sentencing. And it got to the point that they were so blatant and blunt. So they were like, we know that it's wrong, but let us keep it that way. And that's, you know, how it is even to this day. You know, they still know that things are wrong, but they want to keep it that way. They want to keep American great for a certain race, because America has never been great for everyone. It only has been great for a certain race, you know. And so with that being said, go ahead.
No, we were saying right. Go ahead.
Okay. With that being said, leading up to the unlawful detention is what it actually was, because we were just driving, you know, and we were not familiar with the area, but how he came up to the car, how he addressed us. At the time, they didn't have the cameras like they have now. You know, if they would have had that, it would have been a totally different situation, because George Floyd wasn't the first one that has been treated that way. He was just one of the recent ones that have been caught on camera. But it's happening all over the place. It's just the plight of the African-American male. Even I have a 27-year son that lives in fear of being pulled over by the police. The police were trying to just pull him over randomly, and he outran the police. He did nothing wrong, but he said, man, I don't trust him. And it was during that same time as the Michael Brown situation, so I had to sit him down, have a conversation with him that you don't want to, you know, even though you could outrun him, you know, he out in the car, he dodged him and he got away from him. I said, that's not something that you want to do, because, you know, it can lead to something worse. But anyway, back to the story, they detained me for about 4 hours. They searched the car, unlawfully searched the car. And when they saw in my belongings, in my bag, a lot of addresses, they were actually addresses of properties that we had bought and renovated in lower income communities here in Jacksonville, Florida, but he thought the addresses, and he tried to make the addresses out to be drug houses. And I'm like, man, if these were drug houses, that's a lot of drug houses, because it was over, well over 25 houses. You know,
the man wanted to be on CNN, Gina. He wanted to be on CNN yeah. so bad. He thought he caught him a good catch.
Wow.
Yeah, the racial profiling, because, you know, as Gina has shared, you know, I had been incarcerated, but during my time of my incarceration, I realized it was my lack of knowledge of the systems and of society as a whole that caused me to be unjustly incarcerated, and so I committed my life to educating myself. And so when I left prison with 5 degrees, culminating with a PhD in international business relations, and with a commitment and a desire that I would never be placed in those chains again. And so that day when that officer arrested me, Gina didn't see it, but I broke down in tears, because I say, man, I have done nothing wrong but strive to enhance the African-American community and be an example to other young individuals that were headed down the wrong direction like I once was, to do right. And here it is, I find myself in chains again. I mean, it was like a lose-lose situation. No matter what you do, whether good or bad, they still label you as a criminal. And so at that time, I had I had been home for about 4 years. I had done several things in the community. We bought well over 250 houses at that time, renovated them, you know, turning, you know, dilapidated houses that were once used for crack houses and other things. We turned them into viable housing for individuals to live in, and also enhance the neighborhood by, you know, taking away the abandonment that, you know, where houses have been abandoned. That was my mission, and that's what I've been doing ever since, and I'm still doing it to this day. But in the midst of me doing that, I still, you know, that situation was just something that just, like, it did something to me on the inside, because no matter what, they can still just, like, arrest you and detain you, but, well, unlawfully. And you know, as I was looking at the George Floyd situation, I just, like, man, I'm exhausted, you know, and sometimes you'd be so exhausted, but you can't get tired. You got to keep going on, you know, sometimes you can get exhausted with just being a black individual, male or female, in America, because, you know, you have to fight for everything. It's no matter whether it's a business loan, you got to fight for it. No matter whether it's, you know, you're trying to acquire something or achieve something, you got to fight for it. Whether it's an education, you got to fight for it. And these are all the things that I've mentioned. They're all things that are good things. You know, it's not something bad. You have to fight for it. You know, to be, you know, in everything we do, we have to be 10 times better than every other race in order to be acknowledged. And, you know, it makes us so much stronger, but just with everything we do, just like us seeking our justification that night that we were in just be detained, both Gina as well as myself, because they had no right to take her and, you know, and have her sitting in the police department. She could not leave at her own will. She was detained. Me, they had me chained to a desk like I'm some animal, and I've done absolutely nothing wrong, just driving down the street, and was lost. You know, you can't even get lost in America no more.
It was horrifying. You know, when we left out of that situation, we were so numb, Gina, that we couldn't even talk. We didn't even want to do nothing else but go back and go to our room and go to bed. We just couldn't, it was so, and when we went to the car, it was tore up. He didn't care. He had that dog tear up the car, his papers, all of that. And they didn't refund us. They didn't pay us for none of that. There was no, he apologized and asked, could I come back to the community? You remember that, Kevin, when he asked, said
exactly.
it was a lot of drug activity and prostitution and strip clubs and stuff and people coming there. And now he wants us to sympathize and have compassion and, in other words, justify him wrongly and, you know, doing us. You know,
yeah,
but
that's
I didn't
just
even
like
know
the
what
police chief in New York. Yeah, that's just like the police chief in New York. He just made an announcement yesterday saying that, you know, we're treating them like thugs and we don't have any respect for them. And, you know, that we need to respect them, the police officers. And right now they're being treated like thugs when every video captured, they're beating on somebody, they're kicking an innocent protester, they're shooting people in the back. It's like, come
well,
on,
see,
guys.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. With that situation with me and Kevin could have went any of that type of way. It could have went any of that type of way, but both
terrible.
Of us were polite to this guy. We obliged him in every way. You know what I'm saying? It would have been definitely unjustly if anything, any harm, any beatings had happened or any of that. So I'm thankful that none of that had happened. But yeah, I want to thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us and telling us your side of the story. Please tell everybody where they can find you, locate you. Maybe someone wants to partner with you and restoring the area. Maybe want to bring you to their area. Maybe that you can counsel them or when you tell somebody, not a coach, what is that? When they want to, I can't think of it right now because I'm still stuck in that area. I'm still trying not to be mad about that. Because it could have went all kind of ways, you know. But can you tell everybody how they can follow you and get in touch with you? Consultation, if they want consultation from you. Yeah.
Yes. Well, my company is USA Home Turnkey Properties. I have a website, usaturnkeyproperties.com. And then also, I could be reached direct by my business phone, 904-451-7133. And what we actually do is we go into neighborhoods both in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. And we're looking to expand in other areas like Memphis, Tennessee, and other areas, Houston, Texas as well, where we go in and we take houses and we renovate them. And we do a little bit more than the HGTV where they just glamorize it. We actually, it's our reality daily of what we do. And we renovate the houses up to a standard where, you know, people will be happy to live in them. And we place tenants in them, and that's what we do day in and day out. You know, as soon as I leave here, we headed to a few potential purchases now. We look to do quite a few a month, and so more than welcome to speak with anybody that looks to revitalize their community.
All right. Well, you know what? All the best to you. I'm Dr. Kevin Jackson. I appreciate you so much. And, you know, we went through that together, and I'm so glad that we rose above it and continued to move forward and didn't allow it to hinder us any further than that time that was taken that we would never get back again. But God is a restorer in so many other ways, and God has done so many amazing things since then, and we're able to help so many people. So God bless you, sir, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, darling. You can come on anytime. We'll talk more about other stuff. Maybe you can counsel and give some advice to some parents and stuff about, you know, what they should look for and tell their sons. Okay, we didn't have a lot of time, but next time. Okay. All right. So Gina, you got that, girl. Well, listen, we not gonna hold any longer. We got to go right into Elizabeth Brooks. We got 5 minutes of fitness. What's going on, Elizabeth?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
We are awesome.
Doing great.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you're holding it together. These are challenging times. I pray that everyone is wearing their protective gear when they go out and everything that we do to protect not only ourselves, but others around us and our loved ones. Listen, I have, I have a great 5 minute tip for us today.
Okay.
I teach, I used to, my background is in like Yao Gao Kung Fu. I used to compete in amateur kickboxing, and I was teaching a boxing class this week, and I'm like, you know what, I really want to talk to people about boxing and how they can incorporate boxing moves and kickboxing moves into their fitness program. So our fitness tips today is about boxing and kickboxing for fitness. I know, even though actual boxing can be, you know, kind of a brutal sport, boxing for fitness and to incorporate boxing techniques for fitness can be fun and help you knock out your fitness goals. Hey, let's do that. Listen, I want you all to remember that if you just incorporate a few boxing, kickboxing moves into your routine, it can help improve your cardio, your stamina, your endurance, your balance, and coordination. Boxers all have amazing balance and coordination. Boxing is also a really great way to relieve tension and stress and frustration. Sometimes if you just feel like you want to hit something, and it sounds like people want to hit stuff these days, directing that energy into the proper way is really, really important. And so doing boxing moves can really help enhance that and help you relieve tension. Some classic boxing techniques that can be added to your fitness routine include jump rope. God, I love jump rope, you guys. If you're not including jump rope, you know, let's say you just going to take a jump rope with you and you do regular walking, or you've been doing getting out for a jog, you know, take the jump rope with you and, you know, jump for a minute and then get back on your course of walking or jogging. You can incorporate shadow boxing, those jabs, those crosses, those hooks and uppercuts, those movements. Just doing 1 minute of shadow boxing in between your regular weight training routine is a great way to add intensity to your routine and incorporate boxing movements into your weight training workout. Of course, push-ups, you can't get enough of those. You should be doing those every day in your regular workouts. And something like speed ladders and using something like slam balls or weighted exercise balls, you know, like those medicine balls, are great. Incorporating a few exercises into your everyday routines, whether you're weight training, whether you're doing your walks every day. I want to encourage people to get out, get outside. The weather's been beautiful. Even if it's a little warm, it's great to get out and get some of that fresh air. Since most of us are still on some kind of, you know, we're cooped up in the house and we're still on some kind of stay-at-home order. Okay, so boxing and kickboxing for fitness, you guys, incorporate those moves. Keep doing your workouts on a regular, okay? Everybody should be trying to get in a little bit of working out every single day as much as you can, from walking to doing something like boxing. If you are interested in taking one of my classes, just remember, go to the website, thinkingcorrectly.com, and you can sync in. I am doing a workout on Saturday mornings at 8, and I'm doing a workout, a live Zoom workout every Monday at 7 a.m. And these workouts have been so much energy. We are having such a good time, and they are definitely open to people if you're interested in joining. Just go to the website, Thinking Correctly, and sign up. You know, I love you guys. Remember, you know, taking care of yourself is a part of taking care of the community. You know, you can't help others if you're not well.
Right. Well, I thank you so much, Elizabeth Brooks. That's we look right. So much forward to you. And take that aggression, all that frustration. If you're not out protesting, hit something.
That's right.
All right. Love you,
that's
sister.
Right.
Thank
that's
you
right.
so
well,
much.
Perfect. Hit the air if you want. Okay.
Love
I
you,
love
sister.
You guys. Remember that website.
Love
okay.
you.
Absolutely. All right. Listen, we're going to move because we're talking about what's going on right now. We have, oh my God, I'm so excited about having a doctor that can tell us about what we need to do, hunty, about this coronavirus. I'm so excited to have Dr. Cree on. How are you? Welcome to the show, Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. How
I'm
are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Dr. Gina. Yes.
I'm so glad to have you on because a lot of people, you know, I've had doctors on and things like that, but I'm glad that you have specific instructions that you can tell us of our race, our culture, what to do and how to protect ourselves. I'm super excited about having you on. You are a physician and you're a board certified family medicine physician, and your full name is Dr. Cree Trimble Johnson. Is that correct?
Yes. That's it. That's my name.
All right. Well, welcome. Okay, girl, let us know. Where do we start? It's coronavirus and we're out protesting. What's going on?
So that's really huge. Thank you for having me on. And coronavirus is alive and well, guys. So just because we're protesting, just because the shift of the cloud is happening, we're following the cloud, but we have to be mindful that we have to be educated, and we have to continue to protect ourselves as we continue to fight for the Black Lives Matter movement. We have to be smart. So there's a saying that when America gets a cold, Black America gets the flu. Okay, so we can say when America gets a cold, Black America gets COVID. So, and we're dying at alarming rates of these things because we're at risk. We're at higher risk of having uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled high blood pressure, you know, breathing, lung diseases, and all of those things. And we're obese at an alarmingly higher rate. So therefore, we're at risk for this thing. So we need to be sure that if we're out and about protesting, voting, whatever we're doing, wear your mask. Wear the mask. Wear a form-fitting mask, not one that's too big. Make sure that if you have on your mask, that you cannot blow out a candle. Try to blow out a candle with your mask on. If you can blow that candle out, your mask is too thin. It's not protecting you. Yes, so make sure that you put a coffee filter in there in the inside if you can. So doing little things like that so that we can be smart. You know, like we're not just out here cute. We're cute and smart and effective. So making sure we're wearing our masks. It's hard to distance when you're protesting. I saw in L.A. and places like that, the streets were jam-packed, you know, but you need to make sure that you have your hand sanitizer and try and be as clean as you can during those times. And washing our hands is very key. So you have to be smart. I can't say that enough. Use your common sense. Use your God-given sense. And if you have to stay at home, there were other people in the movement that organized and that weren't necessarily on the front lines. So if you're high risk, you have diabetes, you have high blood pressure, maybe let your job to be, I'll just buy water and sit it out here for the protest. I'll buy, you know, snacks. So there's so many things that we can do to be involved during this critical time, but be mindful of your health because this temple that we're given, we only got one, and we got to do our best to take care of it.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Wow. Well, you know what? I'm so glad that you gave that information because you know, and it kind of goes with what I was saying in my ministerial moment earlier. It's like we have to, you know, we can't succumb to our feelings and our emotions, even though they're justified, you know, the anger, the frustration. But we do have to, you know, understand what we have to do. You know what I mean? I said earlier, you know, be led by the Holy Spirit. And really, you know, success is only through the, you know, God and the movement of his spirit and, you know, to seek him for direction and subject all of that. Yeah. And I think even with that, we will be reminded that there is a pandemic out here and that we should, you know, cover up due to the safety for conscience. Yeah. I mean, it's God gives us wisdom. That was one of the things that Solomon asked for. The first thing was all I want is just give me wisdom. And you know what? That's what we should be praying. Give us wisdom because this is bigger than
what to
it's
do.
So big.
Yes. Mm-hmm. On what to do
it's
and
so
how
big.
To do it.
Yes. Exactly. Well, tell everybody where they can contact you and follow you. I mean, I'm so glad at what you do and thank you for your sacrifice. I know you know, I always think that, you know, people in the medical industry, as far as doctors and nurses and physicians, all of that, you know, you guys know that you're saving lives, but, you know, do you ever think that it would come to this? It reminds me of like a military person. You know that it's a possibility that there's a war, you know, and things that you sign up for.
Will you ever have to fight?
Yeah, but it's so many that never went through war. You know what I'm saying? And then the day that it happens, it's like, did you ever think, you know, you thought about school, you was going to get paid, you know, you was going to get, you know, more, you were going to get elevated and all of this stuff, promotions and stuff. But did you ever really think that, you know, it would happen? So how do you feel?
We only got like a couple of seconds.
How do you feel about this whole thing coming into this? Did you ever think that it was possible?
Never thought about it. And leading up to this, I could tell by the numbers that it was going to be bad. So I started losing sleep, trying to prepare my family, trying to prepare my staff. And my husband said, but I've never seen you like this. I said, I've never had anything that I didn't know where to go and how to treat. I said, all I got is what God has given me and the ability to be wise. I said, and in our wisdom during this, that means we shut down. So we were doing things a little bit earlier here because I was leaning not on my own understanding, but, you know, relying on God and this gift that he's given me of saying, hey, what should I do next? So I am Dr. Cree. Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully you'll have me back. We can talk about some fun things like high blood pressure and diabetes. Get out there and exercise.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have you back on for that. Yes.
Yes,
to help us, you know, because they say that that's a a draw to this virus too, a lot of that. So, you know, to even just to talk about that, to prevent, especially when the winter comes and, you know, the flu season starts, that would be great. I would love to have you back on. That's a date. Okay.
Yes,
I'll send you some dates.
You just let me know. Yes. Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm Dr. Creed. Thank you for having me. I'm a board certified family medicine physician, and I help overworked people live healthy, happy, whole lives. I'm here so that you can learn to make better decisions. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you for having me. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. My practice is Brownstone Healthcare. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Cree, spell Dr. Cree out. Thank you, Dr. Gina, for having me.
You are welcome, and I love your voice. You're so cute. I love it. It is a powerhouse behind that cute voice. I love a good Southern Belle accent, though. I really do.
Yes,
I love
honey.
Smart and a Southern Belle. I love it. All in one, and a sister that's going to help us set us free from all this oppression health-wise. I would love to have you back on. All right. Thank you again so much for coming.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I loved her. Didn't you, Gina?
Yes, she gave it to us straight, honey.
She gave it to us straight with that proper Southern Belle voice and straight to the tuta, honey. I love that. Living in the South myself, I never picked that up, but I always admired it. You know, how they were able to say something so straightforward, but be so polite at the same time. I just love it. I love it. I love it.
You real
it's
nice.
It's definitely a gift I wish I had. I loved it. I always tried to pick it up, but I never could get it. I guess I was just too doggone street. I couldn't get it.
Baby, you was too Detroit, honey. You was too D-town, okay?
Too D-town, okay? All right, well, listen, I don't want to miss this today. We got my girl, Minister Nicole Atkins, her in his presence, Gina. We've been thirsting for this. Let's go ahead and go right into it because we don't have a lot of time and I don't want to miss this. Minister Nicole Atkins, her segment, In His Presence. Go ahead, Doug, and play this so we can be blessed.
Hello, and welcome to In His Presence devotional. It's entitled The Covenant Promise. And we're going to be taking a look at Deuteronomy 9, particularly verses 4 through 6. And I'm going to read it. And it says, after the Lord, your God, has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations. The Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then, that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Wow, what a powerful word. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in ourselves and think that we are doing something, or our actions or our ways are producing results. And in actuality, there's nothing that we could do that could supersede God's promises. He says it in the word there that we are the seed of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Well, he doesn't say we are the seed, but he says he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that we are the seed of Abraham. And so because of that, God is outlining in this parable, in this scripture, that he's driving out the wickedness that is in your heart. He is driving out the enemies that are trying to possess the things of God that have been placed for you, the promises of God that have been placed before you. When we come to the knowledge of that, when we come to the knowledge of who we are in God, in Christ, we understand that we have a direct
a line and access because of our inheritance through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the beauty of it is the extension of our access and our partaking through the blood of Jesus, through Christ. And so when we look at this scripture, and it blessed me so, it blessed my heart, it was a reminder, don't take credit for what God is doing. When you begin to see deliverance, when you begin to see God move on your behalf, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in your ministry, whether it be in your own life, personal breakthroughs, don't take credit. Humble yourself. And thank God that I am the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the covenantal promises of your word secures me, and it brings forth victory, and it brings forth prosperity, and I possess the goodness of the land in the living, in the land of the living, I possess. Oh God. And so today I'm excited. As you can see, I'm normally not this excited on my devotionals, but this morning God really showed me this and he laid it on my heart to share with you for the month of May. He's driving out the enemy and the blessings are there for you because it's a covenantal promise. And you're part of this heir. You're part of this promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through the blood of Jesus, through the cross. And so when you see things happening, and when you see the doors opening, and when you see the enemies being driven out of your heart, being driven out of your home, being driven out of your business and your ministry, know that it's because there's a promise that cannot return back void to God. And begin to humble yourself and begin to thank him for what he is doing in your life. So I hope this word blessed you today. I hope that you go forth in this month and you take this word and you receive it and you make it your own and you make it a personal declaration that you are the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those covenantal promises belong to you and your family and your children and your children's children. And begin to declare that, and you'll start to see the enemies of that were trying to overtake you, that they cannot, and that they are being driven out through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and his promises. Amen. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed this word today. I can be, if you're interested in reaching out to me and it's getting to know me in an intimate way through the blood of Jesus Christ, I can be reached at Instagram, Nick_purpose, Nicole Atkinson on Facebook. And I also have a website at www.vision.books212.com, and would love to connect with you. Have a wonderful day, and as always, know that I am cheering for you.
Yay, that was so good.
Amen.
Oh, amen. I love her. Gina, what a show today. Recap it. What you think, girl? We got a couple of minutes left.
Okay, well, I'm going to recap. We're going to recap the fact that Dr. Gina does not need to be hemmed up by the police. Y'all leave her alone. That's one recap. We're going to recap that we got to stay fit, y'all, and do some shadow boxing and get rid of this stress and frustration. We also have to recap that it's a lot going on in the tea world, so just sip your tea and figure it out. And we got to just give God all the glory to end it off and put it in his hands and know that through it all, we going to be all right. I think I recapped it.
I love it. What did you think about Kevin's part, his interview?
And leave Kevin alone, too. Leave Kevin alone, please. He's just a black man lost. He was just lost. Y'all just... You can't even be lost while black. You can't jog. You can't drive.
I know, when he said that, I felt some kind of way, Gina. I was like, we were only lost. Like,
we were just lost.
He should have been, the man should have been telling us how to get the heck out of there. That's all we were trying to do.
Right, right. So, but it was a great show, as always, Dr. Gina.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we had that time today. It was so good. I just want you guys to just know that, again, you know, we're not defeated. We might be weary. We might be discouraged. And some of us disappointed. We've lost a lot. It's been a fight, a crawl. We've been thirsty. We can't breathe. It's been a lot of that. And I understand that. You know, I tell my son and talk to him all the time and let him know who he is and his worth and his value. That's all we can do is continue to pray, continue to fight, continue to vote, and continue to stand, okay, for righteousness. And we love you here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, but we have to go. I wish there was more time. Live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. Until next time, we're loving you always. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.